for your word. Jesus, you're the living word. It's a relationship with the living word, and you never contradict your spoken word. If we love your spoken word, we're going to love the living word. So, Lord, give us ears and give us a heart to run hard after you. As the times are getting harder, we have to get harder. Hard after you and search closer to you. And you are faithful to give us that grace to do that. So bless us now. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3 is the text. The title is called The Spirit, Set Apart, and Send. Three S's. Spirit, Set Apart, and Send. Acts 13, 2. Now, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So let's open that up a little bit. While they were ministering to the Lord. So what does that mean? The scripture gives us some inkling of how you do that. In Isaiah 40, 31, it says, Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get tired or weary. They will walk and not faint. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, 10. And I will be exalted among the heathen. So to be still, ministering to the Lord is putting aside all of your agendas. What you're going to do tomorrow, what you did last week. And it's just waiting on the Lord and ministering to him. Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need to experience your touch from heaven. I need you, Lord, more than I need to do things. Can I get an amen? And that sometimes takes a little time because we always got our minds running amok to do things and what we got to do. And even, listen to this, even in the teaching of the Word of God, my thoughts would be, Lord, give me a word for the church. But he says at times, not all the time, John, first give me a word from your heart. I want to hear from you. I want you to sit at my feet and just put aside ministry, put aside family, put aside everything and just hear what I have to say to you and what you want to say to me. So I write down a lot of my thoughts because it helps me to get to a place where I can hear from God. So I write down exactly how I feel many times, and upon that it leads into another thing, into something else, and before you know it, I'm in the presence of the Lord. But ministering to the Lord, there's an order to it. And as they were waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, set apart for me. You want to hear from the Lord? You want to hear what he has to say? Then you got to quiet your heart down, get into his presence. He's a God of order, and God will speak. Because it was at that point that the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Saul and Barnabas. Saul is Paul. So how do we hear from God? Is first of all, be still and know that I am God. And wait upon the Lord, and many times it takes time. And we'll give you 5 minutes, Lord. I need to hear from you. No, it doesn't work that way. But God is gracious. He's kind. He knows exactly where you are. He knows how frail we are. He knows our limitations. So don't let that scare you from meeting the Lord, even if you could give him 5 minutes, because five will lead into 10 and 10 into 20, and then you'll get a hold of the Lord. And there's no set time. He knows your faith. He knows where you're at. But the ingredient is you desiring it. If there's no desire, he just doesn't say, okay, I'm going to pop it in. But you can admit it and say, Lord, I really don't have a desire to wait on you. I really don't have a desire. Give me that desire. And he does. So it's always a dependency on him wherever you are. And that's what he wants, truth. So he said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called to them. So before the work, he wants you to set aside you for himself. In Psalm 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call on him. So, as it was in the Garden of Eden, the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. And when they fell, he said, where are you guys? Come on. But he knew where they were. But there's always been a fellowship. God didn't create man just to say, okay, you're on your own now. I'm in heaven and I'll see you when you die. No, he wants our fellowship. He wants your love. He wants your heart. Not because he wants to dominate you and be a dictator of you, but he wants the fellowship. Isn't that cool? It's like when you have a best friend, you want to hang out with someone. Isn't that true? You don't want to hang out with someone who's always complaining. I know I don't. It's like, okay, I want to hear this now. But you want to hear from the Lord. And the Lord is very kind and peaceful. And John, what's up? So he wants us to fellowship with him. You know, the first message I gave at Horizon up in California when I was an intern pastor, it's found in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, and we're talking 30-some-odd years ago. And it was the story of David, who was on the run from Saul, and he had about maybe 600 men with him that were also outcasts. And he went out to do a raid, and when he came back to where his home base was, Ziklag, it was called, he found out that it was burnt to a crisp, and all of the women and all of the children were taken captive by the Amalekites. Taken captive. And so when all these soldiers came back and they seen their loved ones gone, they got pretty upset at David. So much so that they wanted to stone him. It's your fault. Look what you did. Da, 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 da. Usually that's how it works. You know, when everything is going right, you're the best. And when something goes wrong, let's get him. So what does David do? Well, let's read it, verse 6. After he got this bad news, it says that David strengthened himself or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's the first step. And then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod, which was a certain type of gizmo that the high priest had to hear from the Lord back then. Now we don't need that. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. But here's the point. Before he just said, Lord, what should I do? Should I go after them? Shall I go after them? And he didn't do that. He first encouraged himself in God. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need you right now. He strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he said, Lord, what shall we do? Should I pursue them or should I just let it go? Will you tell me? And the Lord spoke to him and said, no, pursue. And you're going to overcome them and you're not going to lose a one. And when you read the rest of the story, that's what happened. He overtook them, got everyone back, women, children. And besides that, they got the booty from the Amalekites, whatever they had, camels and, you know, whatever they had. So the point is this. God created us for himself. And when you start building your inner man up and hearing from the Lord and sensing his peace and his presence, you're anointed. Then you got the power. Then you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord will speak. That's when he speaks. But how do we do that? Well, you do it by faith. Here, listen to the scripture. You are familiar with it, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible. Not possible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him must believe that he is, and here's the key, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward you if by faith you are diligently seeking him and saying, God, I need you. We sing that song, I need you more than yesterday. And it's so true. But it's without faith, you can't please him. Now, we know the the scripture, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, you know, so forth and so on. But that's all in the head. Faith is sacrificial. If you stay in your comfort zone to serve God, you'll never sense the reward of Him meeting you at a higher and better level. You see, if you're always meeting the Lord in your comfort zone, well, I got the Lord. If He doesn't show up, He doesn't show up. But when you step out of your comfort zone and you sacrifice knowing what His will is, He'll meet you. He'll reward you. Why? Because He promised it. And His promises are all yea and amen. He's not going to lie. But I think the issue is with me. The issue is not with the Lord. It's what my desire is. He said, for instance, in Corinthians 14, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, but especially that you may prophesy. But there has to be a desire there, a desire for more. And that's what lacks in our lives, mostly anything, because we're okay the way we're living, we're okay in our spiritual life, we're okay in our job, and it's when things get hard that we start desiring more of God, right? But he's saying, preempt it. Desire earnestly. And what is it for? It's for love. It's not for you. It's for love. The prophetic gift is for building up the and loving the church, the body of Christ. Lord, what do you have to say? I mean, that's awesome. I don't know if you've ever been to churches that had a prophetic word. I mean, some of them are off the wall. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that it's all bad. I've been in places, and I know for sure that it happens, okay? And it just edifies the church. Say, wow, that's right on. My spirit confirms that. I agree with what's happening. I agree with that word. It's just kind of like fits in nicely. But you have to have a desire. Desire earnestly that you may prophesy. No, he said desire earnestly for the gifts, especially you may prophesy, okay? So desire is the point. But the first step is that the Lord wants you for Himself. And then it's not for you to be must for and no more, but it's now to serve His will, His purposes. We know, first and foremost, it's none should perish but all be saved. We know His will is the goal. We'll talk about that. But it's love. His will is love. And we all have our limits with love. It's easy to love a person that you get along with and, you know, you both got the same baseball team, you know, Red Sox and the Yankees, that's a hard one. But when you have the same things in mind, it's easy to love that person. Am I right? Am I right? But when you have someone, hey, you're sitting in my seat. I've been sitting here for 10 years. And, you know, and so you see someone and you get a little disgruntled, you know. And you can either eat it and swallow it and own up to it and say, hey, you know, God, it's more than a seat. You know, or I didn't get my way. It's more than your way. It's the Lord's way. And so there comes, that means love. That means love. And that's what it's about. God is love. So now we see the Spirit. The Spirit is for you as you minister to the Lord. And then He speaks to you and He says, set apart for me. I got to work for you. You know, being a Christian and follower of Christ, there is a decision that we make. And that decision is, hey, I don't want to sin. And the Bible gives us other instructions of what pleases Him. We know faith pleases Him. And many times you got to make these actions in faith. For instance, and I probably could say most of us have gone this route. When you first came to the Lord, you had to cut off your friends, your old friends. If they don't know the Lord and they start cussing, it's not like you're self-righteous and you're better than them. But as this scripture says that I'm going to read to you, it says, what does darkness have to do with light? And so we have to separate ourselves. Because be not deceived, he says. A little yeast leavens the whole lump. Immorality is going to affect your morality. This is how it is. You say, oh, I'm better than that. Well, that's not what the word tells us. So he says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? That was a false god they followed. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And here's the promise. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He rewards your faith. It's not easy, but what do you want? Do you want more of God? Well, it's going to cost you. You think, well, I thought salvation is free. Yeah, salvation is free, but it's progression. It's almost like a child, you know, a child gets born into the world. I mean, it's not free for the woman. She's got to suffer the pain, but for men, it's free. Hey, congratulations. Yeah, you know, what did you do? You know, it's the woman that's giving birth and doing the pain and everything like that. But when you come to Christ, the work is done. Thank you, Jesus. But now we have to grow. If you really love the Lord and you really made a commitment to him and you really understand he's my Lord and Savior, not just my Savior, but he's my Lord, and I have to follow what he says. So he says, come out from the midst of them. Not self-righteous. I keep saying that because some take it wrongly and they start saying, oh, what are you supposed to be better than them? No, we're not better. If someone says to me, oh, man, so now you're not doing that, what do you think you are? You think you're better than me? No, I'm just saved by God's grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm going to heaven. How about you? So I will be a father to them. Some of us have been growing up without fathers, maybe. Maybe good fathers. Maybe not so good. But God, the Heavenly Father, is not like your father on earth. They love you, but they'll fail you because they're human like you are and like I am. But your Heavenly Father, don't equate your Heavenly Father to your earthly father. Your Heavenly Father will never be faithless. He'll never turn his back on you. So I have to, when I'm praying, and I got the old ways in my head, you know, hey, I've been disappointed many times, and that word father just doesn't click with me because I had a bad father, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, God, our Father, is not that way. And I have to remember that when I pray. No, he's pure. He's holy. He's good. He loved me so much, he sent his own son to die for my sins. So that kind of like encouraged me to recognize that if I do follow him and I start snipping those areas of darkness in my life and the fellowship with it, and I start cutting that off, he said, I'm going to welcome you, John. And he does. Can I get an amen? He does. He does. But it takes faith. Doesn't take rationale. It takes faith. God, I'm going to put you first and do what you say. A long, long time ago. Well, I don't know. 35, 40 years ago, whatever it was. Some of you weren't even born yet, but I was out there running. And I had a girlfriend. And it was good. I thought I loved her, but I loved her on a superficial level. Because when I got saved and I started going to the youth meetings and church, and I'm in my early 20s, about 35 now, right? Come on, give me a break. So in my early 20s, I'm going to the youth meeting. I'm hearing a word, something similar to this. And the thought came to me, John, stop sleeping with her until you get married. If you really love me and you love her, then you'll sanctify that and not sleep with her until you get married. Well, that was the test. Because now as I'm pulling back, she's not committed to that as much as I am because I'm following the Lord. And you know, I pulled back from that and no longer, you know, some deep kissing, you know what I'm talking about. I was no longer that because it would lead into something else. And she didn't like that. What is these little pecks? No, good night. And eventually, we started drifting apart. You know, I would be going to the youth meeting. She came here and there, but you've seen it. She wasn't for me. But you see, if I didn't put God first, I would have never had my beautiful wife now. She does my laundry. She cooks my food. But she really does. But she does it lovingly. And God made it. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say. So because I wanted to do the right thing, I didn't know the future. But God weeds it out when you put him first. You don't even have to try to weed it out. It'll naturally happen. If the person is on the same page as you with the Lord, it's going to work. But if they're not, it's going to separate. That's how it is. So he said, I will reward you and welcome you. You'll be my sons and my daughters. In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4, it's the end of the time, the end of the world. Babylon, the city of Babylon, which is the Babylonian system, and it could be anywhere. I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. Come out. I tell you, the timing is impeccable. So he says, come out, my people, so you don't participate in what they're doing and in the crimes. Because we're coming to an end. I think we all know that. I think we could see that. We might not get too upset over it, and that's okay, but it's coming. It's culminating. And everything is in place. And just one thing is going to happen. It's going to trigger everything. And maybe World War III. I don't know how it's all going to come to an end. But I do know the Lord said these things are going to occur. Keep looking up. Be ready. Stay ready. And as a bride waiting for her groom, so we wait for the Lord as we sing that song. But in that voice that came out of heaven that said, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in our sins. If we're not doing it now, you're going to get sucked into everything. You're going to get sucked into getting a mark. If you're not following the Lord now and separating yourself of what's right and what's wrong, and you just got to pick up the news, any station except for one station that I watch anyway, and you'll see that they're exploiting children. There's no truth in what they say. They spin it. They lie. There's no truth or justice, and it's there. And it's just moving like, hey, we'll do what we want to do, the government. Sad, but it's true. And people ride with it. Well, the government said it's right. I mean, how many believed the government when they said, you know, the masks work? But now we find out they don't work. Or how many, and it's not making you guilty, got vaccinated. The vaccines don't work. They don't protect you from getting COVID and giving it to others. It's science now, but wasn't that what they were saying all the while? Listen to the science. Listen to the science. They had no science. They had control. So I'm not a theorist that just believes nothing is ever truthful. But I'm discerning. The government doesn't tell me what's right and wrong. Just because the government legalizes something, that doesn't make it right. So I follow what the Word of God says. And if you stop following what the Word of God says, you're going to get through this. But if you're compromising and you're not separating yourself because it's too costly, you're going to get caught up in the whirlwind. You're going to get caught up in the whirlpool. Little by little, that's how it happens. So he says, set apart Saul and Barnabas, listen to this, for the work which I have called them to. So first it was ministering, their relationship with Christ. Then it was to be set apart from the world and from the things of this world and sin. Now it's set apart for the work that God has for you. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, we are his workmanship, right? And that word actually means you are his poema, his poem, his masterpiece. For we are his workmanship, that is God's, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, before you were even born, that we should walk in them. So you're set apart for the work that God has for you. Hallelujah. And you've been born for this time. It's not, well, you know, it's business as usual. You're not just a church member. You're a member of Jesus' body, his mystical body. It's more than, well, yeah, I signed up for the church. I'm organized. I'm in the church. That's not it. That's religion. But according to the scriptures, you are God's workmanship for his work that he has called you to. And you say, well, what could that be? Well, we know it's to save the lost, without a doubt. But it's also to build up one another. If you build up the person in their faith and you sacrifice and you love on them because it's Jesus that you're doing it to. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. If you get that concept that it's more than just a, well, let me fill in the seat every Sunday, but rather, what can I give for you, Lord? What can I do? Now, I'm not talking about getting on a works program here, but to get out of ourselves, because we turn into that black hole. And we just, you know, if you're not exercising, what word is that comes in? Not empathy, but what is it? Lethargy, right? You start disintegrating. You don't use your muscles and they shrink and they eventually die. You don't lose your legs, eventually you're not going to walk. So this is how it is in the spiritual realm too. If you don't have love for Jesus and for his body and for the lost, and you don't see that as your goal, you don't see that as the work that he set you apart for, then what is your goal? Did he set you apart? Well, scripture says he did. And if he did, then I want to walk in that truth that he has created beforehand that we should walk in them. Jeremiah 1:5 says, now, before I formed you, the Lord is speaking, in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I have appointed you a prophet of the nations. Before you even got born, God consecrated you for his work. Wow, what a privilege. But I think, you know, getting a consciousness of that is a step-by-step. Yes. Because probably when you leave here, you'll say, okay, whatever. But if you see that truth and you say, I desire to know the part that God has given me. Now, I know objectively it tells you clearly what to love one another. How can you love God who you don't see and not love your brother who you do see? And what is love? Well, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Paul talks about winning the lost. So it's a combination. So before you were born, I knew you. I consecrated you. Psalm 139. Listen to this one. I love this psalm. If you're ever in a place where you just, yeah, what can I read? Read Psalm 139. Read the whole psalm. It'll bless you. Think about it. He said in verse 16, the psalmist is speaking here. He says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance before I was even born. And in your book were written the days that were ordained for me. You have a date for death to meet the Lord. We all do. But if you're with Christ, you'll never die. You just get transferred. Bing, boom, you're there. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. You see, if I didn't know that he really thinks about me and he really loves me and he's really concerned about everything in my life, he would just be a principal that you got to report to in school. And who wants to report to a principal? Uh-oh. But no, he's a God, my father. He's the lover of my soul. He's for me, not against me. The Bible tells me all of this, and I believe it. It's just a matter of practicing it. Sometimes it starts in the head, and it takes a little while to trickle into the heart. Amen. But keep putting it in your mind. Yes. He says in Galatians, Paul said the same thing. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace, that's all of us, was pleased to reveal his son to me, as he revealed Jesus to you, so that I may preach Jesus, him, among the Gentiles. Set apart for the work of God, to preach Jesus. Preach him in your actions. Preach him in your words. But it's always about Jesus. We could talk about baseball and football and as the seasons come and politics to a degree. But then when it's all said and done, where is that person going? And that has to be my concern, because eternity is going to come to that person. Now, I don't like certain politicians, I'll tell you right now. I might not pray that that God shows mercy for their position, but I'll pray for mercy for the eternal soul. See, I want certain people out of it. Get them out. They're evil. But I also have to pray, Lord, they're people that are going to go to hell forever. Have mercy on their souls. So Paul is saying here, before, again, in my mother's womb, God has set me apart to preach the Bible. And so he has with you, and me. You have a plan, but God has a better plan. Which one do you want? Do you want your house and your three-legged dog and those are four-legged? Whatever you want. You could have that, but you could miss God's will. Here it is. Listen to this. This is important. There's God's perfect will and God's permissive will. His permissive will is when you're thick-headed and you want your own way, he'll give it to you. Case in point, Israel wanted a king like other nations. And so they said, Samuel the prophet, Samuel, we want a king like other nations. We want a king like other nations. And God heard their cry. And Samuel said, Lord, what should we do? God said, give them what they want. Well, let them know there's going to be some heartaches. You see, God had a king for them. His name was David. But because they wanted a king, they got Saul. And Saul was not the king that God had in mind. He wasn't a king after God's own heart. David was. So there's God's permissive will. You strive hard enough to get your way, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to me. But I thank God that he's patient with me, because I'll bang my head, no, I'm going. No, he'll say, bing, no, no. And finally, I get it. Hopefully it's shorter intervals. I don't want my will. Can I get an amen? I want his perfect will, because that's where perfect peace is, whose mind is stayed on him. The last point is that he sent them out. The Holy Spirit sent them out to do the work that he has called them to do. If the Holy Spirit isn't involved in it, you can do good things, but when you get burnt out, if the Holy Spirit is not in it, and that goes for everything we do. Lord, you know, there's a need here, but is this you? But at least you got to ask, is this you, Lord? And he'll confirm it. But if you string yourself out to every need that's out there, you're gonna go broke. You're gonna get burnt out. What about, you know, all the different male people that call in or write in, you know, we need help for this, we need help for that. Children, you see the pictures, you know, you see everything. And then you see a lot of dogs now, right, Angelo? You see the commercials with dogs, you know, they're showing dogs. And so everyone has to give something. But if you keep trying to give to everyone, you ain't going to get through it. Finally, you'll say, I can't do this, Lord, and you'll feel guilty. But you shouldn't feel guilty. You should just say, all right, Lord, I need to define my limits. I need to define my boundaries. And this is my boundary. I believe this is what's really into my heart, this area right here. And then you prioritize that one area and see what the Lord does with that. So the Holy Spirit sent them out. And now listen to this in John 20, verse 21. This is after the resurrection. Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to take you through something here. We, with Calvary Chapel, and I affirm it not because I'm a part of Calvary Chapel, but because it's doctrinally correct. And as I look into it, I see it more, and I hope maybe you'll look into it too. But he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Now, there's three stages of the Holy Spirit. The first stage, it tells us in John 14, he said to his apostles in verse 17, "That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, not in you, not upon you, but with you." The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit brings enlightenment. But now, in John 20, we just read, John 20:21, he just said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And he breathed on them. So now the Holy Spirit was not with them. The Holy Spirit was now in them. And you would think, well, that's enough. They're born again. They're born again at that point. When the Holy Spirit is abiding alongside of you, he's convicting you, teaching you, bringing light to your mind, and then you make a decision. Am I going to follow God or not? And if you say yes, then the Holy Spirit comes into you. So there's a lot of people who once were enlightened and they heard the word of God and they did great things, but yet they fall back and they were never born again. So a person can receive a lot of light and then go back because they weren't born again. Just getting it here and not putting it in the heart and acting it out, that shows the proof that you're born again. So Jesus said after the resurrection, he appeared in the upper room, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." He was with them. Now he's in them. And then he says, wait until Jerusalem, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, don't we have the Holy Spirit in us? Yeah. But there's a third blessing that he wants to give us. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, that word baptized with the Holy Spirit has some weird connotation sometimes, because some have taken it to an extreme where it shouldn't have been. But the truth of the matter is, there is a third experience to have more of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was with you. You got saved. He's in you. Why would he say, wait? And they waited 40 days until Pentecost came, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, to empower you to be my witnesses. Here. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me, from John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Why would he say that if they had the Holy Spirit already? To be immersed, to be powerful with the Holy Spirit is what we want. Can I get an amen? Now, that's up to you. That's up to me. I desire all that God has, and I believe you do too. So what happened after those 40 days they were waiting in the upper room, right? And I want to show you one way of seeing the evidence, but it's not the only way, but it was the gift that they were speaking in another language. And there's some controversy. Well, what kind of language was it? Was it this? Was it that? Was it a language that the angels speak and man doesn't speak? I lean in that area more so. I believe it's your spirit praying. Your mind doesn't understand it. I believe that. But here they are in this upper room waiting to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all born again before that. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And they were speaking in languages that they never knew of. And others said, hey, how do they know it? They're Galileans. They're speaking our language. And they were exalting God and praising God. But that was the beginning of the promise that God said he would give. He would pour out his Spirit on all mankind. Women, men included. And then we see evidence where these other apostles, or I should say disciples, heard that Peter was locked up in prison and they started praying for Peter fervently. Rhoda answers the door because an angel took the chains off Peter while he was in prison. We were just reading that yesterday in the book of Acts, or I should say Friday. And he led them out, the angel led them out through the gate, the door opened, so forth and so on. So Peter goes to the house now that they were fervently praying. And they say, wow, it's a ghost. You know, it must be Peter's, he's dead. I mean, sometimes we pray fervently, and when it happens, we say, is it really happening? So they weren't even sure until Peter came in and said, yeah, it's me. But on another occasion, or in that same time frame, it says, they started giving glory to God, thanking God for this deliverance. And it says in Acts 4, verse 30, now while you extend your hand to heal, signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So to have the Holy Spirit come upon you can come and show himself in different ways. But for one thing for sure, it gives you an anointing that you didn't have before. It gives you more than what you've had before. And in this case, it was a boldness. What is the boldness? Is it just something they went to school for? No. All of a sudden, they got a fire in their heart that they can't contain. I got to tell people about Jesus. I got to tell them that they're lost, or I got to tell them there's a better way, or I got to tell them that Jesus loves, whatever it may be. But you get this fire in you. If you want it. You can get the fire in you for the gifts of the Spirit. Desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit so that you can build up and love the body of Christ. An army is as strong as its participants. If you got a sick army and they go to war, it don't matter. They're going to lose. So you need a healthy church. And part of being healthy is allowing you to want more of God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I don't know all about how that happens, but I want it. Today, when we close, I just want to say, Lord, I need more of your Spirit. I need to be baptized with your Spirit. And you show yourself how you want it. If it's in a spiritual language, praise the Lord. If it's in a prophetic gift, praise the Lord. If it's in the word of knowledge, praise the Lord. If it's all of a sudden you sense the power and the presence of God and the love of God, you're baptized in the Spirit more than you ever before. If you sense the fatigue leaving your mind and the frustration, you see all of that leaving, you sense deliverance, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants all of us to have that so we can be effective for him to be what? His witnesses. Besides it being self-edification, it's, I want the Lord. I want his presence. I want to commune with him. And so do you. So let me just summarize real quickly. The first thing that he wanted was for you to minister to him. Be still and know that I am God. Come into his presence. Wait a while. Tarry. Don't always just jump in and jump out. But I want to hear from you, Lord. Why? Because he made you for himself. He made you because he loves you and he wants you to fellowship with him. He wants to reveal to you. Then we need to separate ourselves, too, from certain areas of our life, some darkness, whatever it is that may be coming. I remember years ago, it was astrology. A lot of people, what is your star? Or what is your sign? You know, oh, I'm Taurus. Oh, yeah. You know, what are you? And people would have different, you know, Pisces or whatever it may be. That's not of the Lord. Astrology is, it's like a Ouija board or whatever you call those boards. Did anyone ever play those Ouija boards? And you see it moving, you say, well, is that you? Is that me? Whatever it may be. But you're opening up a channel for Satan. There are demons. They're called familiar demons. You go to a horoscope person, or not a horoscope, those, what do you call them? Psychos, yeah, psychos is more like it. Yeah. Yeah, they'll tell you, you know, there are things called familiar spirits. Familiar spirits, they've been around. They're eternal. They know your grandma. They know your grandfather. They've been around. And so you're sitting at one of those seances, And, you know, oh, grandma says she likes that tea. And you say, well, how did they know that? Well, there's familiar spirits. And they get you to believe that you could talk to the dead. But the Bible clearly says, do not talk to the dead. Once they pass the other side, they don't come back and speak to you. So these are things of darkness that we need to separate ourselves from. And maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone that, you know, hey, I like this person for all these years. And, you know, we're honchos. You know, that's my man. That's my boy. That's my lady. Whatever it may be. But yet, you know, you're not giving them to eternity of death. You're just saying, I need to separate. Say, well, how would they know? Well, maybe by your commitment to the Lord, it puts a bug in their ear. Wow, this guy is serious. He's really following God. Maybe there's something to it. Rather than trying to compromise and be a friend and try to, you know, there's limits to everything. I understand that. We're not going to be monks. We're not going to go into the mountains and be alone. But we need to do some separation, I think. And when you separate yourself to the Lord and you consecrate yourself, He will welcome you. He will be a father to you. You will be His sons and daughters. You will sense His presence. And how do we do that? We do that by... What is the word? F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Faith means sacrifice. Faith means you get out of your comfort zone. Faith means Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Would you do that? It means you do things that are irrational because you sense God. You're going to honor this as long as it's according to His word. So as worship team comes up,